Hello, friends! It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of DC and Helwani. Today, we got a lot to discuss, from the Paul brothers to UFC 263 to Biggie Boy. So much to get into. But, of course, before we get into it all, a few things I have to tell you about. Number one, Woj Pod. You know the man, Adrian Wojnarowski. We're right in the mix of the NBA playoffs. Things starting to get really interesting. Unfortunately, the Knicks are out. But, alas, there is so much going on in the world of NBA. So if you want to be caught up on all of it, download and follow the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Also, as you know, The Ultimate Fighter is back. You know what's going on. Brian Ortega, Alexander Volkanovski, fighters vying for that contract. You know the deal. If you listen to this show, you know all about The Ultimate Fighter. It is back each and every week. Debut was last week, and you can stream new episodes every Tuesday only on the platform that Chael and I built. ESPN Plus. Sign up now, ESPNplus.com/UFC. All right, on to today's show, and as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, it's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life! On this Monday, June 7th, 2021. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. And DC, we haven't done one of these bad boys in 2 weeks. Feels like an eternity, but luckily for us and the entire team, no big news has broken. I mean, things have been pretty much status quo, so there's not that much to go over in our big return show.
That's not necessarily true. Listen, I penned a letter to my sweetheart. Dear Ariel, why are you leaving me? Don't go. Do you not like me anymore? I don't understand. Like the great group Boys to Men once said, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Why do you have to go, Ariel? I mean, what am I to do? My half of my heart is gone from ESPN, so I am very, very sad and by the news. But do you not love me? Do you not like me anymore, Ariel? How could you?
DC, it's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me.
For those that
didn't hear the news, I am leaving ESPN next week. We do have two more shows left. We have one today. We have one next week. And you know how I feel about you. You know how I feel about this show. And I said this to someone earlier, DC. It almost feels fitting in a weird, crazy way that this show was born at the very beginning of the pandemic. And now, at least for now, it goes away as the world is starting to get back to normal. Maybe our sole purpose was to give people something to laugh about, think about, escape, you know, just do our thing. And now that normalcy has almost resumed, we go back to our separate quarters. But you know how I feel about you and the show and how I feel about ESPN. And the good news is we have one more of these to do. I don't feel like crying at the top of this show and then sitting here and talking to you for 60 or so minutes. I can't believe I'm never going to get to do this show with you in person, so I can't hug you. Will I ever see you again? I don't know. Will I ever get to actually touch you and hug you and kiss your forehead?
You'll never hug me.
It seems crazy.
You'll never hug me. I've told you that time and time again. You'll never hug me. And you're right. You know, we came into their lives for a year. It was like a professional wrestler that gets a run at the top for a short period of time. It was like Kofi Kingston becoming the world champion, right? And then dropping the belt to Brock Lesnar in 15. We were fast. We shot to the moon and then we disappeared. It was all we had for you was a year. But boy, it's been a great year and it's been fun. So thank you for all that you've done. You're my guy. Also, hey, I want to switch topics a little bit. Hey, my son won his first state championship last weekend. So for as disappointed as my Sunday started, it ended a little bit better because little Daniel became a state wrestle champion for the first time. Fourth time at the tournament. He didn't place the first time. He was seventh. He was third. And last weekend, he won his first championship. So when you speak of normalcy, you should have seen the hotel. He was bouncing. He was like, I can't believe I'm at a hotel and getting ready to wrestle a tournament. It was just, it brought joy to me to see him acting that way to compete.
That is incredible. I saw the picture. That's most important, by the way. Mazel tov. Congrats to little Daniel walking in his father's footsteps. But the good news is he'll actually be better than his father when it's all said and done. I can't wait to say that I knew him when he was just a little tyke. And he's well on his way.
Hey.
The truth is, can I finish my sentence for God's sake?
No, wait, Daniel. Ariel.
I got
wait,
tired
Ariel.
Of listening to you breathing wait, in my ear for the last year. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hey, breathing into your mouth, breathing into the microphone. Listen, big boy can't breathe up in here. I get tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get a little fatigued as I sit here today opposed to what I was years ago. But you knew little Daniel when he not only was a little boy, but also did not for a second like his dad as his wrestling coach, because he goes, his dad scares him in the wrestling room. You know, the craziest thing in the world. Talk about your children embarrassing you in front of your friends. He goes, he yells at me. You go, do you like when your dad's your coach? He goes, he yells at me and I get in a lot of trouble. It was awful. I really had to change my ways after that. He'll want it.
Well, that came as I got to do one of my favorite things at ESPN, the E60 piece on you. But in the end, I'll just say before we move on, to me, this isn't goodbye to you or to the audience. It's see you later. And I do think that we will, cross paths in the future once again, and I look forward to that. But it has been an incredible time for the past year, and it's fitting, DC, because not only is today, and of course I'd be remiss if I don't wish you and yours a happy VCR day. I mean, who remembers the good old VCR? You mean you pop a VHS and you sit back with your popcorn? I mean, it's just a great thing. Amazingly, Daniel Cormier, tomorrow is National Best Friends Day. How about that? And you know, you always said you wanted to be my friend. Reluctantly, I agreed. Dare I say now, I consider you a best friend. Lord knows if the amount of times we speak throughout the day is any indication of where we are at in our friendship. I think we're best friend status. So I feel like it's fitting that this all comes to an end the day before National Best Friends Day. A reminder, we have one more show next Monday, so we'll do the sappy goodbyes then. For now, though, let's transition to what happened this past weekend. And Daniel, a lot of things happened this past weekend. You still are nowhere to be found as far as UFC events go at the Apex, but we did have a big event involving some two very large men. Biggie Boy, Jairzinho Rozenstruik, defeated the big man. Ooh-wee! What a great win for him. Augusto Sakai finished him with a second left in the first round. That was tremendous stuff.
Dang, did you see Biggie Boy this weekend? I mean, Jairzinho Rozenstruik is a guy that has tremendous power in his hands. Now, he's been in a lot of situations where he can take the next step, and he's always kind of faltered. This was a massive moment for him to get a win over a young guy in Sakai that looked like he was going to be the future of the heavyweight division because he was so young in a division where a lot of the top contenders were older. It was a big spot for Jairzinho, a big win. But, you know, when you're ranked as high as he is, those are the wins that you're supposed to get. And he was able to land that right hand, left hook, and it didn't even land clean. If you watch the punch that landed, it almost skimmed across the top of his head and it drops Sakai. So it shows you the type of power that Rozenstruik possesses.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not sure about this whole Augustus Sakai was like, you know, the next
bro,
big thing
you,
at heavyweight.
Listen,
also,
he is.
He's
I'm
30.
Do you not
he's 30.
Remember,
but
do
let's
you
not
pretend remember,
he's 21.
Do you not remember? No. No, but do you not remember when Augusto Sakai was fighting and winning all the fights that he did when he first got into the UFC? It's all we talked about. Because you got to remember, the title at the time was me and Miocic, two guys at 41 and 39 years old. All the other contenders were mid to upper 30s. He was a 27, 28-year-old heavyweight that was showing a lot of promise. But he's found himself now on a losing streak. So let's not have, Ariel, revisionist history and forget that you also was like, hey, this kid has a ton of potential and he could be, hey, in a division where all the challengers are older, this young man can be the future. I can go back to the clips. No. This is the beauty of working here. We can go back to the clips where you said, strap a rocket ship to the back of Augusto Sakai.
Yeah, right.
This kid's going to the moon.
Listen, his best win, you know, with all due respect, was against Marcin Tybura, who won in the co-main event and who is now on a five-fight winning streak. So that's his best win. Yes, okay, fair enough. But The guy that you're talking about here is really Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Rozenstruik is 33. Yes. Rozenstruik is the guy who I think has the higher ceiling. And I'm not ready, you know, yet, as you said, like, you know, he's stumbled here and there in some big spots, but he has won some big fights as well. I'm not ready in this crazy division where you have guys like Derek Lewis who has come back and reinvented themselves and now, you know, potentially fighting for the belt. A guy like Marcin Tybura on a winning streak. I'm not ready to write off. I feel like a lot of people were writing off Jairzinho Rozenstruik as no longer being a factor at heavyweight. I'm not ready to do that. I thought that was a really impressive performance. And when you have that kind of power, that kind of striking, you'll always be a factor at heavyweight, in my opinion.
He will. He'll always be a player because of his ability to finish a fight as fast as he does. But what Jairzinho has struggled with is that he can be finished in those moments also. Look, man, the kid has a ton of potential. He's got a great team. I do believe that he has a lot of time. But there are some things that he's got to shore up. Because you got to remember this fight, for as great as it ended, it wasn't action-packed to start. And I know maybe I'm being a harsh critic, but I'm being a harsh critic because I expect a lot out of Biggie Boy because of what he's done, because of some of the bigger wins that he's had over the course of his career. But I thought that was a massive spot, big win. And I thought that calling Curtis Blaydes out was absolutely perfect, because that, once again, if he can win, puts him right in line or on path with the rest of the guys that are fine for championships.
Yeah, you stole my point there. That's 100% accurate. In fact, I do believe that's the direction that they'll go in. Before he said that, by the way, check the numbers, check the timestamp. I said Rozenstruik versus Blaydes is the fight to make, and then check the replies. I mean, the replies on Twitter consistently make me laugh. Everyone's like, stupid fight, stupid fight, stupid fight, because they're thinking Blaydes got knocked out, this guy just won. But you have to look at the rankings, and you have to look at the fights that make sense. Given what's going on at the top of the division, this is the only fight that makes sense. Big opportunity for Blaydes to get back on track after that brutal loss to Derek Lewis, and it's a big name for Rozenstruik to get on his record in his attempt to become a contender at heavyweight. So that is the only fight to make. There is literally not another. Of course, we have a big fight coming up later on this June, this month, with Cyril Gane and Alexander Volkov. The winner of that fight might be ahead of those two guys, considering some of them have met in the past. But to me, that is the fight to make. And I would probably favor, correct me if you feel otherwise, I'd probably favor Curtis Blaydes on that one just because of the wrestling, right?
You know, honestly, first off, Aaron, you can't listen to Twitter anymore. Like, it's crazy what Twitter has become. Twitter's become the most crazy form of social media I've ever been on. But I think what people are doing
more than MySpace
is their... Oh, MySpace. MySpace was fantastic. MySpace was when I was in college, you know, so that was a good time to be alive. But listen, I think what people are doing is they're still looking at the UFC from the past, whenever guys who won fought guys who won. It doesn't work like that anymore. The UFC's kind of gone away from that model. They don't always try to match up people on the same trajectory. They find the best fight, the fight that makes the most sense. But even when you look at Rozenstruik and Blaydes, Blaydes lost to the number one contender. So you get a Rozenstruik, if he can beat Blaydes, maybe he's the number one contender. But Curtis Blaydes is the type of guy, as you said, who would probably be favored to beat Jairzinho. So, you know, it's not as simple as it used to be. The UFC, as the sport has grown, has had to truly do different things in terms of matchmaking. And that's why you see guys in those situations. And you're absolutely right. That fight makes all the sense in the world. And I think that is the fight that we're going to see next. But make no mistake about it, Ariel, Gane and Volkov are ahead of these guys. The one that wins that fight, if Jones doesn't find a way to come to terms with the UFC, the winner of Cyril Gane and Alexander Volkov will fight for the UFC heavyweight championship. It makes the most sense, unless Miocic finds a way back into a trilogy fight.
I was about to say, man.
You just forgot
about Stipe? Like, all of a sudden Stipe doesn't matter? I mean, look, I think Stipe should probably fight, because if you think about it, I mean, he's not going to come. I know he's going to have a kid and he wants some time off, but I do think he should probably fight someone else. But you tried to sweep old Stipe under the rug like that. I thought you guys were boys again. All right, I get it.
I didn't try to sweep him under the rug. I just kind of forgot about it. But I do think that it would benefit him to get a fight. But then I think I saw somewhere Dana said Stipe would fight the winner. So that whole point that I made was kind of
crazy.
It's obsolete, right? It's mute. Stipe Miocic will get the title shot. He's the greatest heavyweight of all time. Why would?
Wow. Okay. Okay. You just saved it there.
This is why people. This is why people don't like you. Because you like to stir the pot. Oh, you always do this.
Stop.
You do this all the time.
Stop.
This is why people don't like it. This is why everybody tries to beat you up. Because you're always trying to stir the pot.
Okay. I'm just going to ignore that comment because I know it doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. No one's trying to beat me up and no one doesn't like me. Marcin Tybura with a big win. Shout out to him. 5 in a row. You got a feel for Walt Harris. Started off strong, but then Tybura was able to get the win at 406 in the first round. But what about, talk about a comeback.
For Walt, though, right?
What about Santiago Ponzinibbio?
Right?
About Santiago? No, DC. No. Santiago Ponzinibbio. It's time to talk about him. If you want to go take the reins, you got to show up to the pre-show meetings, all right? Santiago Ponzinibbio is who we're talking about here. The guy hasn't won in 2.5 years. Let's give him his due.
No, I understand. And it was a great fight. Those guys went to war. But it's like you find guys trying to find answers. What happens when they can't find the answers? Ponzinibbio hasn't gone other places. He has kind of stayed with his team, and he's gotten himself back on track. But when you go back to the fight on Fight Island where Ponzinibbio got knocked out, he was in a very tough fight for his first time back after a litany of injuries. So it could be expected. When a guy's gone for as long as Ponzinibbio was gone, and he's fighting a guy, who did he lose to on Fight Island, Ariel? He got knocked out very early. I can't remember who it was. The guy's so tough. You can almost expect to stumble. I think the guy that we saw fight Beza last weekend is the guy that we're used to fighting. Tough, durable, used to being in the fight, right? So he lost to Jing Liang, who's a very powerful guy. But he hadn't fought for a long time. Now, he's back in his groove. And the more he's more active, the better he'll be inside the octagon, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to tell you it was the leech, but someone got you first. I didn't want to ruin your flow there. You were flowing. By the way, what's going on with the voice? Every so often, it just seems to crack. Is this because of the wrestling tournament this past weekend? Because it feels like you're struggling there.
It's the wrestling tournament. Like, Ariel, I'm not trained. The pandemic killed me. Before, I could yell for days in a wrestling tournament. Now, 2 matches and my voice starts to go. But it's worth it. It's worth it to go and win a few championships.
For sure it's worth it. All right. Well, that was the card. I mean, there were some big performances here and there. Some maybe some slow fights. You know, not exactly one for the year-end highlight reel. But shout out to Jairzinho, who ended the night in a big way. And Marcin Tybura as well. I mean, both those fights could have, you know, been long, slow, you know, prodding fights. But they both ended in the first round. And the Ponzinibbio-Miguel Baeza fight, I think, will be on the short list for one of the fights of the year come the end of 2020. That was Saturday in the world of combat sports. Sunday was as wacky as can be. But before I get to Sunday, DC, and you know what I'm talking about, I know you're fired up to talk about this one. I know you're all fired up to talk about it as I attempt to pull up and waste some time here because I can't find my ad read sent by my good friend Christina. Here it is. All right, we're going to talk about Sunday in a second.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right. Thank you very much, Modelo. We love them. Now let's talk about Sunday, DC. Miami, Florida. Pretty boy Floyd Money Mayweather returning to action against the YouTube sensation, the social media influencer, the guy who walked out with a Pokemon card around his neck. I mean, just the wackiest of the wacky. Only in America do you get a situation like this. A guy with one fight under his belt against the 50-0 Floyd Mayweather, who has dabbled in exhibition fights, of course, we remember in Japan a couple years ago. And in the end, of course, there was no winner because it was an exhibition fight. And in the end, everyone was talking about it on Sunday. Maybe they're onto something here with this Sunday night thing for boxing matches. I know you watched it. Everyone was watching it. It was a crazy thing. Everyone said they weren't going to watch it, but in the end, my Twitter timeline was all about it. SportsCenter IG, ESPN IG, all about it. I'm just going to throw out like a simple question right off the top. What did you make of what happened Sunday night in Miami between Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul?
You know, Jake Paul had that Pokemon card, and the kids loved it. Little Daniel was like, dude has a iced out Pokemon card. Like, the Paul brothers are cool to these children nowadays.
Wait a second. Time out. You just called him Jake Paul. It's Logan Paul. You don't know the difference? They're two separate people. Sorry. There's an older brother and a younger brother. I mean, for God's sakes.
I'm sorry. I don't really know. I don't really know the difference between them all that much. But Logan Paul is, kid's an athlete too, right? The kid wrestled. He's a stud. And you could tell that he took this thing serious because he tried. Way bigger than Floyd. But hats off to him. Floyd's a genius, though, right? Floyd is a guy that is 44 years old. He's 50-0. When he decides to make a boatload of money, he goes and fights someone that has no chance of beating him, no chance of hurting him, and he gets a ton of people in Hard Rock Stadium and makes $100 million. Like, who can do that? But the reality is this. Floyd Mayweather, as the fight went on, it looked like he actually tried to get the kid out of there, and he couldn't really do it because Paul kept grabbing him, Paul kept holding, and Paul was able to land 8 rounds. That's crazy. So the winner of the night, if I'm being completely honest, has to be Logan Paul because you went 8 rounds with who I believe, Daniel Cormier's opinion, is the greatest boxer of all time. And Floyd beat him up. Floyd cruised, but Floyd never hurt the kid. He should have at least knocked him down once, you know, twice to show the level of dominance that you expect from a Floyd Money Mayweather.
I have so many thoughts here, and I'm looking at some of these tweets. The first thing I would say to all these people and to anyone else who was complaining after the fact, like, what did you expect? Really, what did you expect? This was exactly what we thought it was going to be and then some. And so if you were disappointed afterwards, that's on you. Shame on you, because I think we all kind of thought that this would end in a decision, especially once they announced the rules. Obviously, there are weight classes for a reason, right? I mean, there's a 30-pound weight difference between the two of them. They're wearing 12-ounce gloves. It's very hard, no matter how good you are, to knock out a guy who is that much bigger than you. That being said, I do think in an unofficial
stop,
capacity.
Stop,
Let me tell you something.
To the body area. Before you get too far.
Unofficial. Okay. No. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. In an unofficial capacity, Floyd lost that fight because I believe Floyd Money Mayweather could beat that man and any other guy with a 1-0 record, any other amateur, as easily as he wants, as quickly as he wants. Floyd could have put this thing into another gear and knocked this man out with a kidney shot in a minute, in 2 minutes. He let him hang around. He carried Logan Paul. And as a result, now we're going to have to listen to Logan Paul and his brother Jake parade around town from now until the end of time. And they've already started it saying they beat Floyd Mayweather, 50-1 for Floyd. So Floyd is laughing to the bank. He doesn't care what I think, what you think, what anyone's think. He just wants to go to the bank and cash that money. And by the way, more power to him. Only in America, he's making hundreds of millions of dollars to do that, to play fantasy camp. DC, that was Home Alone 3. That was the Home Alone 3 version of Mayweather McGregor. What I mean by that is we saw the first two movies. They were great. No one watched Home Alone 3. It was a blockbuster straight to VHS. Shout out to VHS once again. Bargain discount bin movie that no one wanted to watch. This was the Home Alone 3 version of Mayweather-McGregor. Mayweather-McGregor, we suspended disbelief. We thought for a second that Conor could knock him out. Of course, we found out he couldn't. And now they tried to get us again, and they got us again. And guess what? It's not a loss for boxing. Everyone was talking about boxing. Stop trying to say that boxing is dead. Stop trying to say that Mayweather's legacy is ruined. No, at the end of the day, they all made money, and this will continue to happen. By the way, DC, this isn't a bubble. This isn't a thing that is new. This isn't something that these Paul brothers started. This dates back hundreds of years. We could go back to Ali and Inoki. We could go back even before that. These fights will continue until the end of time, and we will all continue to watch, and they will all make money off of all of us. I say sit back, relax, enjoy the show. But if you want to say who won and who lost, if you want to raise someone's hand, I think Floyd lost that fight because he let that guy hang around with him. And in reality, he should have had more respect for himself, and he should have finished him earlier in the fight.
What I was saying to you was that you're right, Ariel. Weight classes matter, but you could see when Floyd would kind of get close and he would dig body shots on Paul, you could see how much they affected him. He threw one real good left body shot, and you saw Logan Paul grimace and try to grab Floyd. So I feel like Floyd maybe couldn't have knocked him out to the head, but I feel like if he would have made a bigger investment into the body, he would have got that kid out of here a long time ago. I thought after the fifth round, Logan Paul, he wanted to quit, but it was on Floyd to go out there and just give him a little bit more in order to show him the door. And Floyd never did that. I wholeheartedly agree with you that if there is a winner and a loser in this, it was Floyd Mayweather. Because you don't have a guy stand and go eight rounds with you when you are who you are. Even at 44, it does not happen. Now, let me say this. This, to me, is no good. And it's no good for more reasons than one. I truly believe that when you watch that, right, and you watch Floyd go eight rounds with this kid didn't fatigue as much as Floyd maybe anticipated. He couldn't get him out of there. When we sent our guy over there to fight in the boxing match against Floyd, our guy fatigued, and that's where he got finished. But it's almost like you watch and times you see Floyd fighting him in the way that he fought against Conor. So it does not bode well for Floyd, but it also makes martial arts look a little bit worse, because do you have to question whether or not Floyd was carrying McGregor into the later rounds and Conor fatigued and this Paul kid didn't?
Yeah, there are some who believe that. I will just add that, look, Floyd, his nickname is Money Mayweather, so most importantly, he's very proud of the fact that in his mid-40s now, he's able to make this kind of money, and he's still able to capture our attention the way he does, so more power to him there. But I wish he had a little more self-respect, and what I mean by that is this. Michael Jordan, you see these clips of him at fantasy camps. He's playing against 12-year-old kids, and he's blocking them and dunking on them. Like, this man won't allow himself to be viewed as an equal to lesser athletes, right? For some reason, Floyd thinks it's okay to do that. And to me, like, the supposed greatest of all time should be above that sort of thing. There are other ways in which you can make money, and doing this with someone, and it has nothing to do with YouTuber. Like, I got respect. Like, the Paul brothers, like, hey, man, you're doing your thing. I'm not one of these guys who is hating on them, who thinks they're bad for combat sports or anything like that. In fact, I think that they're a rising tide that's lifting all the boats here. And also, you know, for those that don't know, like, going eight rounds against anyone, 3 minute rounds, like, that's tough. Like, to have the cardio to do that, to have the ability to keep your hands up the way in which he did for, you know, 24 minutes and all that, like, that takes skill. You need to be an athlete to do that. So I'm not trying to disparage them at all, but clearly, you know, Logan has no business going eight full rounds with Floyd Mayweather, for God's sakes. No. And that's why I feel like is on him. I'll also just add, Jake Paul's a better boxer than Logan Paul. Like, can we agree on that? Like, Jake Paul and the path that he is going with his career and the decisions he's making, like the Tyron Woodley fight, which we'll talk about later, is an appropriate step up for a guy who's 3-0. This is all just, like, freak show, fun stuff, whatever, that Logan is doing.
Logan but if Paul you just, like... Logan Paul lost to another YouTube guy. He got beat by another YouTube guy, but then
Jake's
he went
better,
eight
though, right?
Floyd Mayweather. Like, that's bad for Logan Paul to have lost to a YouTube kid and then to be able to stand eight rounds with Floyd Mayweather. That's why I said hats off to Logan Paul. Here's another thing about these Paul kids, right? They're training aerial. They're kids with money. They're at the beginning of their careers in boxing, but they're not getting trained by the local guy in their hometown. They're getting trained by high-level boxing coaches because they can pay them. They don't have jobs. So their full-time job is to train boxing. They can do all these things because of the money they've made with YouTube and everything they've done. So there is no knock on these kids. These kids are doing the right things to prepare themselves. It's on the actual fighters to go out there and remind them that they don't belong. Because for as long as, if you're Logan Paul and you just went with Floyd Mayweather, who in the world are you not afraid to fight now? Like, who are you not willing to go in there with if they're smaller than you? Because if you get the right size guy, you know that they can't hit hard enough to hurt you. Who are you not afraid to go in there with as Logan Paul? It generates money.
Well,
so any smaller guy is willing to take the fight. Now, he won't go in there with a Canelo because Canelo is going to take his head off. Canelo is the type of guy that's not going to play with you. Canelo is trying to ruin you. So he'll pick his battles. But you go 8 rounds with one of the greatest fighters of all time, man, that's to be commended. But these kids are training, Ariel. These kids have high-level trainers that are preparing them for actual fights. So if you go in there with those Paul kids, you better be ready to fight, or you're going to get yourself embarrassed. But Floyd missed the show, Hawani. Floyd missed the show. He came out with the Migos. He had his crocodile jacket on. He missed the show. So he put himself in a situation where he got to live the show. The people were calling his name. The spotlight was back on him. He made a ton of money against someone that posed no threat to him. So it was the guy's a winner, man, and he knows exactly what he's doing in that regard. But you're right. I wish he was more like MJ. Bro, his bank account won. But like Michael Jordan, Ariel, Michael Jordan was on a vacation, and there was a guy playing basketball with him on pickup game. And he goes, look at YouTube and Google Michael Jordan, boy. And Michael Jordan is freaking just is banging shots on the kid because he does not want anyone to feel like they can compete with him. And I feel like all of our great champions should have that.
Yes. In conclusion, because we could talk about this for an hour, but we have a lot more to discuss. In conclusion, I don't feel, and I think you agree, that this is bad for boxing or the death of boxing and all this stuff. No one is above this. And in fact, this isn't the NBA. It's not like these kids are taking, you know, a roster spot on the Knicks or Rockets from an actual player. You know, there's 15 spots who worked his way up. Like, this stuff lives in a vacuum. It happened on a Sunday night. In fact, Badu Jack, you know, his profile was raised. Ocho Cinco was on. Like, no one's losing out here from taking part in all of this. And you can choose to watch plenty of boxing. Shakur Stevenson is fighting later this. What do you mean? No one is losing out. What are you talking about?
Did you see Ocho Cinco? Yo, did Ocho Cinco say the most ridiculous thing that you ever heard in your life? Ocho Cinco gets hit in the face, gets knocked down, and then he goes in his post-fight comment, hey man, I'm not a boxer. I'm just a fighter. No, Ocho Cinco, you just fought. You literally just fought and got knocked on your face. He felt the most awkward way I've ever seen in my life. I'm a street fighter. I'm just not really a fighter in the ring. What are you talking about, Ocho Cinco? You're a football player. These guys got to stop playing with these boxers. He got knocked on his face by that bare knuckle guy, and it was hilarious because you got to learn, man. You have to learn.
Yeah, and now we got Vitor Belfort who's getting involved as well. And so I just want to say, no one is above this. It's not going away. CM Punk fought in the UFC. So the next time you hear someone from the UFC, you know, clown on this, remember that. Kimbo Slice was on The Ultimate Fighter, and may he rest in peace, and on CBS and all this stuff. No one is above this. No one is ever going to be above this. These fights sell. There will always be a market for it. And you just hope when they match them up that, you know, the skill level is taken accounted for and no one's getting seriously hurt, or you have a willing participant like Floyd Mayweather who is willing to carry his opponent the way in which he did on Sunday night. DC, let's talk about our good friends over at DraftKings.
Master P played in the NBA. Master P played in the NBA too. You got to remember, Master P played in the NBA. So this stuff happens all the time.
Yes, although it was exhibition. It was preseason, but I get your point. Alas, we digress. We'll talk about Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley, a real fight, later in the program. But let us first say hello to our good friends over at DraftKings. Yes, DraftKings. We love DraftKings. And as you know, UFC 263 right around the corner. It is going down in 5 days. What a great card. Glendale. And as you know, DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is very easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Hey, download the DraftKings app right now. And you know what? Maybe this will change in the future, but not now. Use code Ariel, that's A-R-I-E-L, for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. Again, that's code Ariel, A-R-I-E-L, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, DC. Let us now turn our attention over to UFC 263. It's going down in 5 days in Glendale. What a great card. The main card is fun. The undercard is fun. You got two title fights on the card. And let's start with the first one. Israel Adesanya against Marvin Vettori II. Coincidentally, taking place in the same building. What are the chances that Izzy versus Vettori II would happen in the same building as Izzy Vettori I several years ago? Glendale, Arizona. They meet again, this time for the middleweight title. And can I just say, I love everything about this feud. That split screen interview that happened on Saturday with Izzy and Vettori, and I'm actually a big fan of Marvin Vettori. The outfit, like the demeanor, like everything, it's just fun. The dynamic is fun. I don't know what the fight will turn into, but I am enjoying the final days leading up to this fight. I like what they have going. I like the heat between the two of them.
I love it, Helwani. I love it because you could tell that Marvin Vettori just annoys Israel Adesanya. He like annoys him. And Marvin said, "I can't stand you." Izzy goes, "I hate you." Like these guys can't stand each other. But the funniest thing was Izzy burps on the interview. And that was the thing that made Marvin the maddest out of everything. That was the one thing that really pissed him off, was that Izzy burped right in front of him. But ultimately, it's a great fight. It was a good fight the first time. I called the first fight. And Vettori, for years, held on to the fact that he thought that I was too much in Adesanya's corner in regards to the commentary. He had a lot of success with his left hand. He had success with his takedowns. But over the course of the fight, it felt like Adesanya had done more. So to see a guy build his way back up from that to fight that same guy as the champion, tremendous. The story could not be written any better. I cannot wait to watch the fights this weekend.
And I love the fact that Bisping was the traffic cop in that one, of all people, like the hothead and Michael Bisping having to be the mediator between those two guys. It was poetic in some respects. Let me ask you this, DC, because you were there, like you said, for the first fight. Would you agree with me that, you know, skill for skill, Israel Adesanya is a better fighter than Marvin Vettori? Would you agree with that statement?
I can't. I understand that Izzy's a much better striker. He's got the championship level experience, but it's hard for me to just say he's a better mixed martial artist skill for skill. Because Vettori has a lot of things that may not be as developed in one regard, that the other things that he does overall makes it better, right? His physical strength, his wrestling, because for Adesanya is the better striker, but Adesanya is not the better wrestler. I don't think Adesanya is the better grappler. So it's hard to say he's the better
overall mixed martial artist. I'm just saying you're trying to be nice, so you're trying to hedge. Here's what I'm asking. This is why I asked that question.
Point. Yeah,
this is why.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay, take a hit. Okay. I think that Izzy, skill for skill, is the better fighter. However, I do believe that a big part of the fight game, and you can obviously speak to this better than most, is confidence, right? When you believe in yourself, when your confidence is high, when you're on a winning streak, you're going into a fight, and this applies to anything in life, and especially sports, you are able to sometimes rise to the occasion, and you are able to overachieve, if you will. And so why I bring this up is Marvin Vettori is on an impressive winning streak. Marvin Vettori has beaten some tough guys. Marvin Vettori believes in his heart that he beat Israel Adesanya and deserved to get that W. His confidence, to me, is at a very, very high level right now. On the flip side, you have Israel, who I think is the better fighter skill-wise. He's coming off a loss. He's never tasted defeat in MMA. And towards the end of that fight, Jan kind of ran away with it. I know he didn't knock him out. And so why I bring this up is it possible that confidence is going to be a major key in this fight? Here's one guy who's feeling himself, who's on the winning streak against the guy who just lost, but of course didn't lose his belt. And in some, like, I want to say very clearly, I'm not counting out Marvin Vettori. Marvin Vettori has a chance. Do not dismiss this guy because of the confidence, because of what he believes. And then I wonder, because this other guy is coming off a loss, it's very rare for a champion to be coming off a loss because usually you're champion, you're coming off a loss, you lose the belt. In this case, he moved up. Is it possible that the fact that Izzy's coming off a loss actually helps the situation in terms of Vettori's chances in this fight? Do you get what I'm saying?
I do now. I do understand what you're saying now. I mean, I was just talking about individualized skills and departments. I know what you're saying, but listen, Marvin's confidence is sky high. But Israel Adesanya does never lack confidence. I think that he's one of those guys that can move past what happened in the Błachowicz fight. But Marvin Vettori has the size and the ability to present some of the same issues for him. But I think what's being overlooked in Jan Błachowicz is that not only did he beat Izzy with his wrestling, everybody's talking about those takedowns at the end of the fight, he was able to stand with Izzy for long periods of time and land shots more effectively in order to win close rounds. So Marvin's not only going to have to take Izzy down, he's going to have to hold him there, but he's also going to be able to hold his own in the stand-up. Can he do that over the course of 17, 18, 19, 20 minutes if Adesanya is defending the takedowns as effectively as he did last time? Because Marvin did take him down, but Izzy was able to get back to his feet and defend on multiple occasions. It's a very difficult fight, but I do believe the confidence will help Vettori. The questions about losing your first fight will be on the mind of Adesanya, but I believe the champion is good enough and confident enough in order to kind of try and move past it and approach this fight in the way that he approached every other championship fight he's had.
I think that the fascinating thing about this fight to me is there a blueprint out now as to how to beat Israel Adesanya? And you just said, you know, the size and all this stuff. Is Vettori big enough, strong enough to do what Jan did against Izzy because now they're fighting at a similar weight? Or are we going to see, you know, with Izzy all fired up and doing less media leading up to this fight, like, are we going to see a throwback to, quote-unquote, the old Izzy, the fired-up Izzy, the Izzy that we saw against Paulo Costa, who goes in there to prove a point that he's levels above all the middleweights? And do we see a virtuoso performance? I can't wait to see. I'm all in on this main event. I'm very excited for it.
And one more thing, Ariel. Last fight against Błachowicz in the apex. Small octagon. This time, out back in an arena, big octagon will make those takedowns a little more difficult to really try and get for Marvin Vettori. Even against Kevin Holland in the apex, where he's able to take him down so much easier because the space was limited.
And DC, can we remind people about Davison Figueiredo, shortlist for you know that fight against Brandon Moreno, fight of the year? My fighter of the year 2020. I mean, like, can we remind everyone about Figgy? I feel like people have forgotten about Davison Figueiredo. I mean, I feel like people have actually forgotten just how good this guy was last year, what he did for the flyweight division. He resurrected. It feels like it was 10 years ago now. This man resurrected the flyweight division, had that classic against Moreno, ends in a draw. Here they meet again. I feel like not enough people, and it's understandable, Izzy, Nathan Diaz returning. We'll get to that in a second. There's some big names on the card, Damian Maia, Bilal Muhammad. We're not talking enough about this fight. This is an incredible rematch of a fight that blew everyone's expectations out the window, and a fight that I think, if not for Zhang Weili versus Joanna Jacek, is the fight of the year in 2020. I can't wait for this fight. And I'm curious, this is the other part that we're not talking about. Remember, DC, Figueiredo took that fight on like 3 weeks' notice, had to cut weight quickly, had to come right back, all that stuff. And I know Moreno as well. But hey, like, that was a lot for that guy. He couldn't go home. Remember that? Like, I'm curious to see if he proves a point that, hey, that was all well and good on 3 weeks' notice or whatever it was, 2 weeks' notice. But I'm the superior fighter here.
He stayed in Vegas after he had that beautiful performance against Perez. Moreno stayed and trained as he had just won his
Moreno
fight
went
on
home.
The same night. So he went home. To Mexico. Yes, he went to Mexico. Yep. Sorry, he didn't stay. Went to Mexico. He was able to get right back, is what I was trying to say, into another fight after his performance over Roy Val. It all worked out perfectly, right? It was like storybook. But Davison Figueiredo stayed in Vegas. Wasn't able to go home. Remember, he got the $50,000 cash. Everything was coming at him really fast. So it's easy to maybe start buying into the hype, drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, I'm the man, right? I'm the man. I'm going to run through this kid because I'm that guy. He was shown that night that Brandon Moreno is as tough as they come. I think what happens is, though, we don't see rematches. And I've made this point before, Ariel, where the rematches don't generally live up to the first fight. If it can even become a fraction of what they did in the Apex at night, it's going to be a fantastic fight. I remember sitting there next to Rogan and Anik thinking, it feels like there are thousands of people in the Apex because people are going absolutely insane for a 125-pound fight, which is not something that you get a lot of. A lot of times, you know, for as good as DJ was, a lot of times the interest in the title fights wasn't as high as we all expected or thought it should be. But they get excited for Davison Figueiredo. And this is going to be a crazy fight. I almost cussed there. It's going to be a crazy fight when these two are in there because Moreno is a stud. He's as tough as they come. But Figgy has got big power. And he says that he's going to make everything right this rematch. He's going to knock out Moreno.
Figgy, can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. You know what also hypnotizes me? The hair. I don't know if you know this, DC. Former hairstylist, former sushi chef. I always have trouble with sushi chef.
You're making this point again. How many times?
Yes, how many times can you make
this same point? Of course, the guy does hair, really. Sure. Ariel, every time, dude. Like you, it's like you like him for his hairstyling abilities more than anything else. You keep saying the same thing. Like, come on, man. Don't use the same points. Don't do that again.
Who wouldn't? Now, what about the return of Nathan Diaz in a bizarre turn of events? The third to last fight on this card is, for some reason, a five-round fight. Nathan Diaz versus Leon Edwards. Does Nathan have a chance here? It feels like no one's giving Nathan a chance here, DC. Is that silly? Do you think he has a chance? I'm not asking for a prediction. I know you like to sit on the fence. You like to be friends with everyone. But does he have a chance against Leon Edwards?
He has a chance. It's very difficult, though. This is about as tough a fight as Nathan Diaz could have taken to come back. But it's five rounds because that's what Diaz probably wanted. Nathan wanted a longer fight because it gives him an opportunity to use his cardio as a weapon. But Leon Rocky Edwards is as good as they come. Now, what makes me worried for Diaz is that if you remember the Masvidal fight, yes, he got cut and the fight got stopped. Masvidal was really piecing him up, man. Let's just call a spade. He was getting pieced up. And Leon Edwards, in my opinion, is a much better striker than Masvidal because it's not just boxing. Masvidal is mostly boxing. Edwards can do it all. But Nate Diaz is an absolute star. He's a guy that you buy the tickets for. And this morning when I watched the countdown, it started with the Vittori and Adesanya. And I'm not going to even lie to you. I tried to fast forward all the way to the end to get to the Diaz part because that's what Diaz does, right? He's the guy that you want to watch. And I'm not going to lie, man. I didn't go through Figueiredo and Moreno. I didn't go through Adesanya Vittori first. I watched the Diaz-Edwards part first and then came back and watched the rest because that's what you do when there's a star on the card at the level of Nathan Diaz.
Oh, forget star. I mean, I think there are very few superstars in this game. He is a superstar. Yes. He is must-see TV no matter who he's fighting, no matter where on the card. It's kind of crazy like to even see the tail of the tape there. Like, I can't even believe this fight is happening in 5 days because it just kind of came out of nowhere and they weren't on the same trajectory. And it's also kind of amazing that Nathan Diaz is the only unranked guy on the main card and yet he actually could get a title shot if he wins this fight. That just speaks to how big of a star he is. Let me ask you about that five rounds if I can. Does that change your opinion on the fight at all, or is that just like, you know, is that just like a nice little detail that we like to talk about? Like, basically, if this was a three-round fight as opposed to a five-round fight, does anyone get an advantage that it's now a five-round fight as opposed to a three-round fight?
I don't think so. I think both of these guys are going to be in fantastic cardio shape. I think Leon Edwards is ready for a championship-level fight. You got to remember, this is a guy that's won 8 fights in a row and then has a no contest against Bilal Muhammad, where he looked fantastic in round one. So, these guys will be in shape. Nate will try to use his cardio as a weapon as he does on many occasions, but he has to withstand the early portion of the fight. You know, all the scar tissue, all the damage he's taken. If he takes too much damage from Leon early, all that stuff will start to present itself again, and then the referees may have to make a decision as they did back in Madison Square Garden for the BMF title.
All right, so that's UFC 263. I mean, we could talk about this card for an hour. In addition to those fights, Damian Maia, Bilal Muhammad, and what could be, it hasn't been said for sure, but could be Damian Maia's last fight, Paul Craig versus Jamal Hill, Drew Dober versus Brad Riddell, Eric Anders versus Darren Stewart, Lauren Murphy versus Joanne Calderwood could very well be a number one contender fight at the flyweight division. Movsar Evloev against Hakeem Dawoodu. I mean, there's a lot of Chase Hooper on the early prelims. There's a lot to like here. And I look forward to your call of the event this Saturday, DC, from Glenn. Oh, that's right. You're not going to be there for this one. You told us already. My bad.
Boys got demoted. Did your boy get demoted? Hell, did your boy get the motive?
You and me both. You and me both, DC. I mean, come on. Hey, now let's talk, if we can, for a few minutes on what happened around a week ago. Tyron Woodley, our guy T Wood, the chosen one, T Wood from Ferguson, Missouri, the University of Mizzou, going up against Jake Paul. He got it. He got the fight. It looked like a long shot for a second. What started off as like a little thing in the locker room actually ended up in the fight. August 28th, Showtime pay-per-view. It's actually happening. What do you think? Is T Wood going to get this done? What is your level of confidence leading up to this fight as Tyron Woodley is now stepping into a boxing ring at 39 years old? Here's the face-off. I mean, it was just quite the scene. You got the barstool guy there. I mean, what the heck is going on? T Wood, our guy, what is your level of confidence as he goes up against Jake Paul?
I'm actually happy T Wood's going to make a boatload of money to fight Jake Paul. And the world, Tyron Woodley should win this thing, no questions asked. In the world where Jake Paul has a Showtime deal and Showtime says that he can fight Tyron Woodley, even though they're going to put a lot of money into this kid, I don't know why they make the fight. I think Tyron beats kid because Tyron's supposed to. I always, you know, when you're supposed to do something, if you beat the people you're supposed to, you win about 95% of the time. Tyron's supposed to beat this kid that was on Disney. Will he do it? I mean, I sure hope so. We need our champion to go and do what he's supposed to do against this dude. For Jake Paul, though, he's going to see in this one that it's much different than fighting Ben, because Ben had no idea what he was doing out there. I mean, I watched Ben Askren go out there, and Ben Askren could have fought in front of your local 7-Eleven the way that he was out there standing with his hands down. Snoop said he's got a 1940s boxing style. He's like the Fighting Irish. I don't know if you've ever seen the logo of Notre Dame. This dude standing out there, don't know what he's doing, gets knocked out by Logan Paul. And he needs to – he'll know better when he fights Tyron that he's got in there with a real fighter. Or Jake Paul, sorry.
Right. So can I ask you this? Do you agree, as we look at the tail of the tape right over here, do you agree that this is an appropriate step up for Jake Paul? In other words, should Jake Paul get some kind of credit? Because let's be honest, he can fight anyway. He could still make a boatload of money fighting a retired NHL player, basketball player, you know, another guy like the YouTube influencer that he fought in his debut. Like, he can continue to do that. But Tyron Woodley at 39 and on a 4-fight losing streak, given his history, given his resume, given his experience, is a very appropriate step up for a guy who's 3-0, limited experience in the ring, no amateur background. If you compare Tyron and his resume to the kind of guys that Floyd and Mike Tyson and any other great boxer fights in his 4th pro fight, this to me is actually a tougher test, despite the fact that Tyron has never fought in a pro boxing match. Do you agree that this is an appropriate step up for Jake Paul?
I think it's actually too much of a step up, if I'm being honest. Like you said, guys, like if you watch pro boxers at 3-0, the people they fight are ridiculous. Watch ESPN Friday Night Fights. Some of these guys, there was a guy out there boxing a year ago that looked like he had never put on gloves before, but he was fighting this good prospect who was like 10-0. So this is a massive step up. I get what they're doing though, right? They see Tyron has gotten knocked out. They see Tyron has had trouble pulling the trigger. So they're kind of hoping that that's the guy that shows up when Jake fights him. But T Wood has to be ready for a real boxing match. I've told you time and time again, this kid believes that he can win. This kid is going to train and prepare himself in order to win that fight because he wants to stick it to people. He wants to stick it to the UFC. And if he can beat Tyron Woodley, if he can knock out Tyron Woodley, it's gonna be all bad, man. It'll be all bad if T Wood don't get it done. It's gonna be all bad, like all the way bad.
Yes. I mean, you think they're insufferable by claiming victory over Floyd Mayweather. I mean, just wait if he actually knocks out a former UFC champion. Now, DC, let me ask you this. You bring up a great point there regarding, you know, Tyron Woodley and the state of his career and everything like that. Here's the thing. I still feel like Tyron has some fight left in him, but here's what I want to ask you about. I hope, and I'll speak to Tyron, and I would say this to Tyron, bask in the glow of this fight after you get the W. Don't do it now. Don't surround yourself with opportunities and things that are going to come your way as a result of being involved in this fight. Lock yourself up. Go to Siberia. Get three or four coaches. Don't do any media. Get this W because Tyron Woodley has a chance to right the wrong of the last four fights. Tyron Woodley has a chance to become a darling in the MMA community. Let's be honest. It's been a contentious relationship over the years with the MMA fans. He has a chance. He has been given an opportunity that very few get. And I just hope in the 2.5 months left between now and the fight that he doesn't get engulfed in all the drama and all the stuff that comes along with this fight. Do that after the fight. Do that after the W because it will all be greater. I just don't want, like, I see some of the stuff in the media. Like, I don't want any of that. Don't buy into this. Do it after the fight. And I hope he's listening. And I feel like you feel the same way. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. Listen, you know when kids have like a nervous thing, like I'm doing my nervous thing right now. I'm like rubbing my wrist like, Tyron, please get the job done. But look, man, we've seen that in T Wood, right? Like he started when he was the champ, he was hanging out with all the rappers, making music, and that's part of what his career is going to be. But like you said, man, lock in T Wood. Come to Oakland. Come to Oakland. There's fantastic boxing up in Oakland. If you're gonna do a camp somewhere away from home, somewhere in California, don't go to LA. You don't need to train at the Hollywood boxing gyms. Come to Oakland. Come and get gritty and grimy. Come in an area where all you can do is just train so you can go and beat this kid the way that you're supposed to. Because Tyron Woodley is supposed to beat this kid. It would make people so happy to watch T Wood knock this kid out or drag him into a point where the kid starts to fatigue and then you just kind of beat on him and break him. But if he doesn't take this thing serious, this kid is going to find a way to win the fight and it will be the worst thing imaginable. Hats off to Jake Paul for fighting a guy like Tyron Woodley. Hats off to Showtime for saying, hey, we'll give you a deal, but you're going to fight real people. Showtime has a history with Tyron from Strikeforce, right? So they know who Tyron Woodley is. Massive opportunity for T Wood to make a bunch of money. It's a massive opportunity to really springboard all those other things, the rapping, the acting. He beats this kid. All that stuff goes to another level. So lock in, T. Wood. Get ready to win. Be serious, be focused, and go get this victory.
Yeah, I talked about righting a wrong. I mean, the last time Tyron Woodley fought on Showtime, he got knocked out by Nate Marquardt. So this is another opportunity to right a wrong, to come back to where, you know, his career really started and get a big victory. And you're right. You know, Jake Paul, yes, he's working in concert with Showtime, but let's be honest, he's getting to pick the opponent and he's picking Tyron because he has the name, he has the pedigree, he has the resume, the championships, but he thinks he's done. So Tyron has a massive opportunity. And he told me that he's considering going out and training with Andre Ward. So maybe he's on the same page as you. He'll go out and away from LA and go to Oakland. Andre Ward is, you know, the king of Oakland as far as boxing is concerned. There's a lot of it to me. I got to say it. First of all, I'm intrigued by this fight and I can't believe that, you know, we spent 30 or so minutes on today's show and it's appropriate and we could have gone more. The two most talked about fighters in the world right now, DC, are Logan and Jake Paul. What the heck is going on? Hey, this is crazy.
Is this on pay-per-view? Is this on Showtime pay-per-view or just Showtime?
Pay-per-view.
Oh my goodness. You're right. They're the most talked about fighters in the world. That's so crazy.
And if
that dude actually was yelling.
And if you don't like it?
This dude was yelling. Oh, my God, 30 seconds for the rest of your life. Oh, my goodness, Jake, my brother just beat Floyd Mayweather. Like, this is it's crazy, man. It's bad. It's so bad what's happening right now. It's so bad. So bad.
Listen, you don't have to like it. You don't have to root for it. But if you don't accept that fact that they are two of the most talked about, if not the most talked about fighters.
No, they're still Canelo. Shut up. Sports athletes in the world. Still there. Canelo's still there. Shut up. Canelo's still there. Don't you dare.
Right now, we are talking about them more than anyone. It's a crazy thing with all that is going on in the world of combat
Mexico,
sports.
Canelo.
That's right. Yeah, Canelo with the face palm. Anyway, DC, we're out of time. The penultimate show in the books. We got one more next week. But again, this isn't goodbye. This is see you later, bro. This is see you later. I wish I could go over there and just kiss you right on the forehead.
I'm going to be your first guest on your new show.
Unfortunately,
I can't. I'm on show number one.
Much love, DC. Much love to the production crew as well. UFC 263 this Saturday. Two title fights. It's going to be lit, baby. Back next week. Same time and place. Tell you say peace. We're out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.